and tabernacle that you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. God does not have a plan B. He does not have an alternative except a plan. When the altar is not flowing with void, the only thing that could correct that was the intervention of God by the Holy Spirit. When everything had been lost, there was only one way. That was that God would send the Holy Ghost to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. On the day of Pentecost, there was only one thing, and that was the intervention of the Holy Spirit. As we live in this generation, there's only one hope for this generation. If the same Spirit that dwells in Christ dwells within you, He shall quicken your mortal body. There's going to come a sound out of heaven, and God is going to declare that time will be no more. I'm totally concerned about this church. I know I said some strong things this morning. I know that. I got texts on my phone when I got home thanking me for what I said. I walked in and Brother Steve Rivers stopped. He didn't know I was in that room. I was there. He stopped. And what he said about what God did for him this morning is rich to me. I remember one time Brother C.M. Ward said that you are so things by and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you won't normally say. Thank you, amen. Brother Clinton said, it's a shame we have so much counseling because they come in about sad stories. And you sit there, you listen to the story, and you counsel that person in your sympathy. He said, most counseling takes place by a preacher under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God deals with things in our lives. Well, we've been on this for weeks. We read this morning for 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. We will read it again tonight, if you will. It simply says, quit not the Spirit. We also read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. Let me just bring you back up to where we were today. We were dealing with the reality of fire in the Word of God, representative of the presence of God. And we used such things as Moses at the burning bush. We talked about the pillar of fire that consumed the sacrifice. I messed up my path this minute. I didn't need it. I just needed to get started with where we left it. God consumes the sacrifice by fire. We dealt with it this morning. Presents your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If you're not being consumed, if that sacrifice that you've offered to God is not on fire by the consuming God, you need to pray through. We've got fire. For the God that answers your fire is God. He'll baptize you with Holy Ghost. This is the last thing I'll remember about. I will teach from this morning. Fire represents God's presence with His people. It represents God's protection for His people. It represents God's cleansing of His people. It represents God's judgment of His people. And we went on down through the line on that. But let's pick up with where we left off this morning. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We know that in dogma, Brother Spurgeon, but do we know that in reality? God is moving by His Spirit, and God is going to be His work. Something's got to happen. Just go back to this. God is looking, but God works the same way all the time. God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner, according to John. God will not accept the flesh, the world, or the devil. He is the holy God, pure, and he's going to have the people that are holy, that are pure. Something has got to work in us if we're going to be filled with the original. Look at something with me. A relationship with God begins with repentance. You'll get it after a while. It begins with repentance. Something here about 2 weeks ago. I've been preaching about 20, 25 minutes. When I called you to prayer, we got up in a Sunday morning service. We got long after it started and come into these altars and prayed. Nothing begins without prayer. That's the first thing. God looks for intercessors. God looks for prayer warriors. God looks for those that were seeking repentance. But let's go even further back. There has got to be a confession. I'm talking about God filling us with the Holy Spirit. There is no relationship with God apart from repentance. The blood, conviction. What's happened to conviction? Where has conviction gone? I can remember a time in the church, if you had a bad thought, you fall on your face to repent. Now we can look at nakedness, nudity. We can listen to filth. We can watch a TV program put on by a bunch of homosexuals and laugh just like the world can. We need a convicting power of God. Something that will come and get a grip on our lives. Which you've been born of God. You are a new creature. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. You're not what you used to be. And if there's not a change in your life, you need to go be born again. It will change your mind. It will change your heart. It will change your actions. It will change your goings. You are not so old. You've been born with a price. And God is not going to fill the flesh. He is not going to anoint the carnal. God is going to touch that which is as he is. Be you holy as I am holy. Be clean. Make no provisions for the flesh. Yes, we need to repent. But some way, somehow, God, the Holy Ghost, is going to have to bring back to us convictions. Somebody says, well, you have your convictions and I have mine. What a cheap way of trying to escape. Sure, there are some things that may be more personal to us, but you cannot change the fact of Jesus Christ. You can't change the fact that he paid the price. You can't change the fact that he said, you have to come to me. There's one thing about this life with Christ, and that is that as long as you're living the life of Christ, you're living the life of another. You're not living your own life. There is no holiness in your life. There is nothing clean in your life. You are living the life of another. I only live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. That's what this life is. And we want God to fill this life. And God must fill us. This is for who is going to win. You. We need more than just the general concept of the things of God. On the day of Pentecost, they were told, this is for you. This is for you, your children. This is for your children's children. This is for those that are far off. That doesn't mean somebody that lived a long way from Jerusalem. That's generation. It is the will of God to fill with the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you, He is only going to baptize that sick vessel to house the person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a person. You're not getting an it. You're not getting a something. You're not getting a feeling. You're getting God the Holy Ghost. And in that baptism, I've gathered so many things here through these weeks. Last Sunday night, I was meeting with a minister. Call of God on lives. Where's that young man anymore? Let me throw this in. Where's that young man anymore? They will come and say, God's called me to preach. Where's that young lady, like it used to be, wanted to marry a teacher? Wanted to be involved in the work of God? Where is the ministry? What's going on? I can tell you, you let God move in this house the way He wants to move, He will still call preachers. He'll still call teachers. He'll still call workers. Somebody said, well, I chose this for my job. I'm telling you, we're too much involved in what goes on in our lives. We need to die. We need to die every day. Paul said, I die every day. I die every day. I don't need more of my pride. The world doesn't need more of my separate considerations. For me to live as Christ, whatever a man or a woman sees me, they should be able to see Jesus in me. If they can see Jesus in me, He will baptize me. He will baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Let me say something else. Going back to this idea of fire. God, the Holy Ghost, will not burn in anyone until that person has been washed in the blood. Got to be cleansed. I pass through church. As far as I'm concerned, no matter the size, I still believe the best in the world. I'm humbled by that. But there is very little in this church right now that is burning. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We need a burning. If somebody thinks about some of the things that I say, that maybe I don't think that you are true, I'm not saying that. But there's none of us that like to get a red face because we've been proven wrong. We don't like to be dealt with personally. Most of where I kind of got only this morning was about Sunday school attendance. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, and I have sinned against God. You know what that tells me, Brother Sunday? If you don't have the word of God in your heart, you will sin against God. Somebody, somebody. This has got to be get beyond where we are. I have a friend who used to go to church here, and he's moving on. But he came to me and he told me that a preacher offended him. I said, how did he offend you? He said, he told me that I need to be in church every time that I'm in. So he said, I just left. And he did. Went here a long time, moved in. I will tell you this, using a natural vernacular. Sometimes God the Holy Ghost can give you a real faith. He will show you something in your life. He will reveal something in your heart. He will reveal something in you. That's one reason that a lot of people do not want the Holy Spirit. They don't want to deal with them. They do not want a preacher to deal with them. They want to go somewhere where it's smooth things. We take that person that is hungry for God, that person that is filled with the Spirit. God said, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. You take that spiritual thing, you can't make him mad. You can't upset him. If he's guilty of what you are talking about, he's ready to repent. If he's not guilty, he's ready to shout because he's already got the victory. Let God come in this place and let him do what we do not even like for him to do. What's he going to do? You remember Sidney Jones and that message on Barnyard Saints? I mean, Eagle Saints and Barnyard Saints. Talking about that eagle. How did that mother eagle start taking that down, that nest? Put flies in it. And the eagle gets stuck. Eagle Saints and Barnyard Saints. The truth of that story was that that farmer asked that man to come to pick up the eagle. He said, why did that eagle, I take him out in his barnyard, why will that eagle not look at a chicken, peck with a chicken, eat with a chicken? All he'll do, he's got that around his ankle. He's looking in heaven. He'll walk to the end of that rope. He'll walk to the other end. He'll just keep going back and forth. That man told him, said, sir, that eagle was not made for this barnyard. That eagle was made to soar in the heavens. And that's why if he did, an eagle will come along and deliver him or kill him. He done belong in his yard. And little John had raised chickens. I remember because if we didn't have chickens, right between the ears, the chickens go on each other. There is somewhere that a chicken peck. Somebody said, that embarrassed me. I've been embarrassed. Hello? Let me tell you the story. Can it's a story? Over in that old church. I've been going there in a while. Brother Clinton would always have someone come up and help him pray for a lot of people. He called me. I went up there. I thought he went up there to help him pray for a lot of people. And then that led me $15 microphone. When you preach to him, the speakers were out. But I got up there. I thought that I was going to be to help the man of God. He looked at me. And he said, you have a melancholy spirit. This is different. And with the microphone, tell me about it. You've got a melancholy spirit. Then he said, if you don't get rid of that stuff, go send you to hell. And then he said, I'm going to cast you out of here. I mean, I was raised with a respect. Somebody with an inferiority complex, the last thing you do is tell them you've got it. You help them by telling them how great they are. You know those fingers were about that long in that man's hand. He took that hand, slapped it on the top of my head, and felt like those fingers went from here to here. And he started rebuking me. And I'm standing there, and God, I mean, I don't even remember the thoughts going through my mind, but I remember what he said. I remember what he said. I do remember what he said. He said, if you don't get rid of that, it's going to send you out. I fell on my hands and I cried for deliverance. I cried for freedom. I do not want that melancholy spirit. I do not. Sometimes you may wind up with a red face. Maybe the best thing for you. You know, God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. But he knows what it takes to get through when a part of you that is angering him, preventing him from doing that perfect work in your life. He knows it better than you know. He knows what you're thinking. He knows every minute detail of our lives. I'm telling you, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit may cost us 10 days in an upper room. It may cost us time, but if the wind will blow and if the Spirit will come, it will be worth it. Somebody asked me one time, what do you think we did for those 10 days? They were people, and I know people, and I know people. I know attitudes and hearts and thoughts and imaginations. You used to go to that Polk County camp meeting, didn't you? On Livingston? I preached that thing for years. One night, hundreds of people were there, and I stopped in the middle of a service that had to be the Holy Spirit. I said, there are people here in this service, now that you're a pastor. Now that you're a pastor's wife, I don't remember my message. But I said, I tell you what, we had to deal with that situation. There were two people there that were praying. Possibly walking churches. There were people that got up and went to their wives and began to apologize, began to repent. That's revival. That's taught me to move with God. I told you this when I was preaching up in, I think you're going to know, about 11 years. My wife was pregnant with Shannon, and the doctor wouldn't let her go anywhere. He wouldn't let her go to the store. I persuaded him one day to let her go. I think it's the name of the man. He told me, he said, I tell you what you can do. You can drive her up there, put her in that motel, put her in the bed, and come up. That's what you can do. It was on a Saturday night. I told her, I said, I know we're out of these restrictions. I said, I feel like I need to go to Clemson. I went to Clemson, but the Abbey was the pastor. He was an elder. I went to the church to try to get inside to pray. I knew that I had to pray. The door was locked. There was a lady that lived close to the church. I went to her house. She let me in. I'm in that church. And God gave me a simple talk. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. God spoke to me and said, I want you to picture the morning when I was a sinner, I acted like a sinner. When I become a Christian, I put away sinful things. Go to regular service. I packed house on a Sunday morning. Brother Abbey was a great man. I preached that message. I've never even tried to preach it. I don't know what I was saying. There was a man on the back. I told you, man on that back seat. He stood up. He pointed to a lady that was sitting with her husband on the side of the train. He was back there. And he said, call him by name. He said, I've had lust in my heart. I've imagined myself by myself. Oh, God, that husband's going to kill me. But then he said, if God will let me live to get to the father of repentance, ask God to forgive me. Ask God to forgive me. There was a man sitting back over. He was also in the back on this side. He said, I've been stealing schools off of my job for 10 years. He said, I've had one of the best two collections you've ever seen in your life. Every one of them was stolen. He said, if God will let me live tonight in the morning, cost me my job or whatever, go to jail or whatever, I'm going to take every one of those children back to that company. The man sitting over here, his wife was 9 months pregnant. He said, I'm one in this church, but myself and several others, we said, we're going to start this pastor out. We're withholding our time. But he said, if God will let me live, to get to that altar and bring my tithe. When I come to night, I will have my tithe. Everybody stood up again. She was with me. I had to get her back to the motel. I told the pastor, I said, we're going to the motel. Just come get me. He said, don't leave. That was 11 days, 12, whatever the time was. I'm talking about a move of God. I keep talking back to the Lord. About 2 o'clock. I don't have no time to do it. He's a preacher. Every person in that church confessed. Repented. We went back to church that night with God being my witness. Then, I don't know if you remember that you, Donna and Debbie, sang in that same church one day and crossed with the other. when I got back to the church, the parking lot was full. When I left in the church, the man on one side, ladies on the other side, the church was packed. I joined in the prayer meeting. When it came time for church to start, I got up from the prayer. They didn't. I would presume, I'm going to guess, maybe upwards of another hour. Can I tell you, we had revival in Boston? Had a move of God? Who think, oh, I can go in and be blessed? Get healthy, run around the building, having emotional experience of the baptism. Yeah, but what about that conviction? What about that repentance? What about that God is doing with you in that real conviction? I messed up my mind again. So let me just go to say this. And I call it. We all know what it is to build a fire and to take the bear's advice. Put your fire on. Put your fire on. Put your fire on. I said this morning, one thing about Moses, when he got to the burning bush, he took his shoes off, but he never tried to put that fire on. This is why you can't touch, you can't do that. You can't stop it. You can't stop the Holy Ghost's fire. God can do anything from striking you with a hemorrhoid to kill you. That's in your Bible. I've been fired. I almost had one get away from me. Even my wife didn't know that. I'll tell you what, scared me to death with that fire getting out of control. The devil can't put this fire out. The devil can't put out this fire. That we're baptized with, that it consumes his sacrifice, that he is the anointing of God. But you can. And I tell you this in the love of God, some of us have Christians. It's not like it used to be with us. We're not on fire like we used to be. I worship the time of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Where is that passion? Where is that comes from the inside? The drawing power. Where is it? God had things he's given us to make a difference. I don't know at what point God is going to give us the break that we pray for and that we long for. And I do know it's going to come. I do know it's going to come. We're not asking amiss, musicians. We're not asking amiss. We're not asking to consume anything upon our own life. We're seeking God. We're drawing nigh to God. Right? God said, don't come to me. No, he said, come to me. God said in the hour that you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found in you. It's not God who says, I'm not trying to relive another day. But I'm trying to relive pure religion, undefiled, uninhibited. I see mistakes when we don't follow God. In our bodies, in our spirits, we will consume. Do you know what I believe? I believe God will do it again. It may take 10 days, and that's a big excuse. It may take 10 days, but somewhere in those 10 days, God said, if you'll go and tell me, I'll pray. And when he tells us tonight, if we will pray, if we will repent, if we will be convicted, if we will humble ourselves, if we won't gossip and so many other things that hinder the way, God will do what he said he would do. He said, I'm just saying, I want you to stand with me. I want you to stand with me.